together the hymn 169, "Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, promise of the Father given. Send us now, Pentecost." I'm not sure what your normal is, standing or sitting at the moment, but if you stand, sure you can stand together to sing just the first one here, 169.
Upon us, Lord, from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Send us
to be able to sing of the Holy Ghost, the one who is our comforter, the one who is our earnest and the seal of our salvation. What a wonderful blessing it is. Let's bow together in prayer just and seek God's face as we come to commence the meeting tonight. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we do give Thee thanks that we're able to be found in Thy house this evening. We praise Thee, O God, that we are the living to praise Thee, the living to serve Thee, and the living to worship Thee. We thank Thee that tonight already we've been able to lift up our hearts in praise to our God. We thank Thee that we can praise the one true and living God, the one who drew salvation's plan, the one that brought it down to man. We thank Thee for all the blessings we have in Christ and for everything that we can rejoice in. We know that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. We do pray for the meeting tonight. We pray for every aspect of it as we would further worship Thee as we would come to study thy precious word, and as we would come to seek thy throne of grace and prayer, we pray that we would each one know the help of God tonight, that we would know the presence of God. We plead that wonderful promise in thy word, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there art thou in the midst of them. And we pray that tonight, O God, we would know thy presence amongst us, and that we would know a fresh blessing from thee tonight. Oh, may we each one go from here and rejoice in the great things of God, rejoicing in our salvation and being glad that we've been here, that we've met with thee, and that we've been renewed and that we have been encouraged in the things of God. We do pray that thou wouldst draw near. Give help in each aspect. Lord, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, I pray, that I would be given liberty and ability to bring forth thy precious word. We do thank thee for the congregation here. We praise thee for each one who is found in thy house tonight. We thank thee that thou hast ordered their steps, that they can be here, and that they are willing to come to the house of God, and that they're here to praise thee, to worship thee, and to seek thy face in prayer. We thank thee for each one. Thou knowest their individual needs, and they are varied, and thou knowest their family's needs and their family circles. We pray that thou wouldst bless each one and meet each family at the very point of their need, we pray. We would ask that thou wouldst be near to each one. If there is that need for comfort, if there is that need for healing, we pray, O God, that thou wouldst draw near in healing and in comforting power. We praise thee that as we've thought already tonight, we have the Holy Spirit, our comforter. We thank thee that we come to the great physician who heals the sick. And we just pray that thou wouldst draw near and bless each one. We do pray for the outreach efforts of the congregation here. We thank thee for each opportunity they have to spread the word of God here in Six Mile Cross. And we pray that as thy word goes forth, that precious souls would come to the Saviour, come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, we pray that as the work would go forth, whether among the young people, the boys and girls, in the normal services of the church, we pray that thou wouldst bless. We think even as perhaps various programs may be off over the summer months, we pray for the children that would normally be reached by them. We ask that thou wouldst keep them as the very apple of thine eye, that thou wouldst have them, Lord, for any that are not yet saved, that they would ponder on the things they have learned and they have heard over the last year, and that they would see their need of the Saviour and come to thee. O God, we pray that thou wouldst complete our families in Christ, draw in the lost, save precious souls, even here in Six Mile Cross. We do thank thee for the faithfulness of the congregation, for their faithfulness to the gospel, to the word of God, and we pray that thou wouldst bless them. Show them tokens for good, O Lord, we ask. And be on to them all they would need. We pray for those who would be on holiday at this time. We pray for the Reverend Omerod and his family as they would be off on holiday. Refresh them, Lord. Revive them that as they return, they'll be able to take up the mantle once again and go on in the things of God and in the work of God here. Bless them and encourage them, we pray. We pray for others, members of the congregation who are perhaps on holiday. We ask that thou wouldst bless them. Give them that refreshing portion also. We pray for each service like this that would take place across the land tonight, each prayer meeting where God's people, thy saints, would meet to pray unto thee, we pray that thou wouldst descend and give help in prayer. Give blessing, O God, we ask, and be unto them all they would need. We pray for the convention, even in Enniskillen as well. We're mindful of that. We pray that thou wouldst give Douglas help there tonight as he proclaims thy word. And may there be a great blessing to the people of God there also. We do just leave all these things before thee now, Lord. We pray especially for this meeting and for this time here now, that thou wouldst be one of our number. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll praise the Lord again there. We'll sing the hymn 418. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, so praying as I onward go, as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And tonight, we want to focus our attentions on really the Christian walk and walking in Christ. And this hymn points us even to that, in pressing on. That's sometimes the part of the Christian life. Sometimes it can be hard to press on. But here the hymn reminds us to press on the upward way. May that be the desire of each of our hearts. We'll stand again to change your position before we come to God's word. To be able to praise the Lord. It is good to be with you tonight. We've enjoyed fellowship here in times past, at youth rallies and youth council events and various things in the church here, and it's always been a joy and a blessing to be here, and it's good to be with you tonight. I see you have perhaps slightly more comfortable pews, so you won't mind if I go on a bit longer then this evening, I hope, but it's good to see you and it's good to be with you. We're turning in God's precious word, please, to the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. Tremendous book of the Bible. Of course, all the Bible is wonderful, all the Bible is inspired, and it's a tremendous book and wonderful lessons to learn. But Colossians is a wonderful book. There's great blessing in it. I have to say I've been quite nervous twice this week already, because on the Lord's Day morning, Dr. Douglas turned to Colossians chapter 1, and then last night at the convention, the Reverend Gallagher turned to Colossians chapter 2. So I was a wee bit nervous, because I was thinking, if these men preach my sermon, not that I'll be as good as either of them, but if any of them preach my text, you shall think that I have maybe just regurgitated what they have said. But don't worry, we can thank the Lord that Mr. Gallagher preached on a different verse, so that's always a blessing. But I do recommend you can go on to Sermon Audio even and listen to the convention if you can't make it. There's been some wonderful blessings down there already, and we thank the Lord for that. But we're turning here to Colossians chapter 2 this evening, and you don't have to worry, I'm not stealing another man's message tonight. Colossians chapter 2, we'll read down a few verses from the verse number 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the saints of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the verse 15. Even in the verses we've read, there's some tremendous truth, some tremendous gospel truth pointing us to Christ, to the cross, and the wonderful blessings that the Christian has in that, in the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And we see that being nailed to his cross. And the Reverend Gallagher preached on the verse number 9 just last night, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." A wonderful verse pointing us to Christ, pointing us to his deity, to him being fully God in the flesh. Wonderful truths there even to comprehend. But we want to focus our attention really on the verse number 6 and 7 tonight. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We'll just bow in prayer and ask for God's help once again this evening. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee that we have the inspired, the infallible Word of God in our own language, that we can read it and that we can, as the psalmist, meditate upon it day and night. And we just ask now that as we come to consider a few thoughts from Thy Word, that Thou wouldst descend and give me help from the Holy Ghost. May anything that is of man, the thoughts of man, fall far to the ground tonight. And may Christ be exalted and glorified. Bless Thy people. Encourage them, Lord, we pray, and build them up in the great things and truths of God. Bless as we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon preached often on this text. It was a favourite of his in many ways. He preached at least six times on the verse number 6. And on one occasion he took the title, As and So. And his title was So because it really summed up that entire verse, the verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And as we come to consider really these two verses, because I believe they are very much linked, we'll spend most of our time in the verse 7. But we have here an as and a so. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And as we come to consider tonight, walk ye in him. We want to see, and we want to at the very outset say, that it should be the natural response of a Christian, of one who is in Christ, one who has received Christ Jesus the Lord. It should be the natural outworking, should be the natural flowing of them to ought to seek to walk in Christ, to ought to seek to go on, to press on the upward way, as we were singing a few moments ago, to press on with Christ and to go forward with him. But note also that you can only walk with Christ if you are in Christ. You can only walk with Christ if you have had that experience in your life, if you have had that time where you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And when we come to that thought of receiving him, it's receiving him by faith, coming to him as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him for salvation. And I say that in many ways, and I know a meeting like this, we perhaps always would expect to be filled with those who have had this experience, who are sure of their salvation, who know they're saved. But sometimes it is important to remind ourselves even of the simple truths of salvation. And it reminds us of our security in salvation, even to dwell upon that thought, to receive Christ Jesus the Lord, to know that we have faith in him, to know that our faith is not in ourselves or in man or in church or even in a profession that we've made, but our faith is in Christ Jesus the Lord, the one who came to this earth, who lived that perfect life, who died the death of the cross on Calvary. To know that our faith is in him, that it is him we look to, it is him that we have received, surely in many ways it gives us a great assurance, gives us a great hope of glory. We know Christ Jesus the Lord, the one in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The one who was truly God. The one who was fully God and fully man. The one who was everlasting. The one who is truth. We know that we come to him. We trust in him alone. And what even a great assurance and blessing there is for the believer, for the Christian, to think even just of their own salvation. So we note here that we have to have received Christ Jesus the Lord to walk in him. But we also see that it is that natural thing, so walk ye in him. It comes there nearly naturally, as you have received, so walk ye. It is the natural outflowing for the Christian to want, to desire, to walk after God. And perhaps it has not been your desire. Perhaps it is not as fervent a desire in your heart tonight as it once was. Well then, look to Christ. Look to the one who is married to the backslider. Look to the one who can draw you and can bring you on and bring you closer to himself. And that's why we want to come and consider this title or this topic of walking in Christ. Walking in Christ and what it means to the believer, what it means to the child of God. to walk with God. And I believe it will drive us to prayer. It will drive us to worship. It will drive us to the Savior as Christians. And therefore, I trust that it will be of some encouragement to you. Notice with me here in the verse number 7, first of all, a groundwork of grace. A groundwork of grace. See, even here, just at the very start, the first number of words, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. Really here, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Colossians, he's using two great descriptions, two images, we might say illustrations. He's using illustrations to those at Colossae. There are this idea of being rooted. Rooted, perhaps if you picture a tree, a mighty tree that has been growing for years and years. I'm sure, I know recently, we had a tree near the house that blew down. And whenever it blew down, you could see some of the roots sticking up. But you could also see the roots that were still in the ground and had gone down further into the ground. And if you ever maybe see a picture or an image of a tree in some book, perhaps, and you'll see under the ground, there is a mighty network of roots that flow down under the ground. And of course, through those roots, there's nutrients that are brought into the tree. There's water that's brought into the tree. There's the essentials, really, for the life of the tree are absorbed through the roots. The tree also stands upright, really, because it has so many roots buried down deep into the ground. And here, really, this is the illustration that Paul is using, or the metaphor that Paul is using to describe the groundwork, the basics, the bottom of their faith. It's to be one that is rooted, one that is buried deep and firm and secure. You know, if a tree has poor roots, if its roots are starting to rot, or if they're not as good or as deep as they once were, that tree will be more susceptible to falling over, to dying. But good, firm, and solid roots produce a tree that is full of life, a tree that is great to look at, a tree that grows to be large and strong. We also have a second illustration used by Paul here, rooted and built up. This picture of building up, of placing on top of another, brings to our minds the idea of building a building. No doubt one that is very familiar to you, one you could say that you've seen in driving around the country or even in maybe your own life's experience, the building of a house. Perhaps some of you even remember this place of worship being built. And you would know that it was built up. But what was it built upon? What's your house built upon? It's built upon a foundation. We have in the foundation a similar picture to the root. The root goes down deep under the ground. The foundation goes onto the ground so that there is a firm, a solid foundation for the house to be built upon. These are two very biblical illustrations that we see throughout God's precious word. And their meaning is rather clear to us. Their meaning is this thought of the need of having a solid base, a solid groundwork, whether that be in the picture of the foundation or whether it be in the picture of the root. And what is that foundation? What is that that root that we ought to build upon? Well, we have it in really the text here in that first line that we've read. Rooted and built up in him. In him. In who? In Christ. In Christ Jesus the Lord. What a blessing it is tonight to be in Christ. To be joined to him in that wonderful spirit of adoption. In that wonderful union of adoption. Dear child of God, if you're saved tonight, that is a truth for you. You're adopted into the family of God. You're sure of that union with Christ. It is that adoption whereby you can come and cry, Abba, Father. Wonderful blessings we have to be able to say God is our Father in Christ Jesus. To be adopted into the family of God. To know that we have the Father who cares for us. The Father who looks over us, who watches us. Dr. Douglas at the convention used an illustration on the Lord's Day about a child searching for a present that the parent has told them is there. The child will perhaps look around. They'll go into the bedroom. They'll look in the bedroom under the bed covers. They might look elsewhere. And they'll seek to search for the treasures that are there. And perhaps after a while they're not finding anything, but they still have a zeal to seek and to search for the treasure. And maybe they haven't found it after quite a while. What will the parent do? The mother or the father will come along and they'll help them. They'll show them. And he illustrated that and brought it around and showed us that when we come to study God's precious word, we may have to try and have that zeal to seek to study God's word, to seek to find the treasures that are hidden therein. And our Heavenly Father, whom we're adopted to, who we are in Christ, we're adopted to God the Father, in the family of God, will show us, will lead us as any parent would. And it's wonderful for the believer to just pause and think that as one who has been adopted into the family of God, not only are we the joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have all the wonderful blessings that flow, not only from our salvation, but we have blessings that flow to us because God is our Father. God, the one who created all the earth, the one who created all things, the one who is all powerful. He's our Father. And as a father, the Bible uses the illustration that as a father pitieth the child, as a father loves the child, God loves his children with an everlasting love, a love that never waxes nor wanes, a love that is strong, a love that is sure. And rejoice in that, dear child of God. Rejoice that you're in Christ. And that's what Paul brings out to the believers here, to be rooted, to be built up in Christ. That's where it all begins. That's where the groundwork all is. Over in Psalm 1, we have another great illustration, and it is that illustration of the tree once again. Psalm 1 verse 3, it says, "And he," which is really describing the believer, the child of God, the one who is in Christ, "he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's a picture there of the one who is in Christ, the believer. He's like that tree planted by the waters. The one who is rooted in Christ has that growth, brings forth his fruit. His leaf won't wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, dear child of God, we have so many blessings in Christ. Do you rejoice in them? Do you thank God for them? When we come to pray, so often we wonder about our pattern for prayer. We wonder what we ought to pray for. Well, there's one thing to begin with. Thank God for the simple blessings he has bestowed upon you, for the wonderful, bountiful blessings he has given to you. And never cease to praise him for them all. Oh, Christ is the only foundation. The ones, the believers at Colossae were in many ways looking to other things at times. They didn't always focus on this root, on this foundation being in Christ. He brings that out really down further through the verse there, in the next verse even, the verse number 8. When he warns them, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He brings them out a warning because the believers at Colossae at that time were involved. They were starting to get wound up in the philosophies of man. They were starting to get wound up in ceremonialism and looking at ceremony. And you have there that vain deceit, the tradition of men. Even if you go on down the chapter to the verse number 18, it talks about, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels." They had been worshipping angels, worshipping false images. They had set up a self-centered gospel in many ways, and they had fallen. They had looked away from this center, this foundation, this root that they needed to focus on. And as God's people, let us always focus on that groundwork. The groundwork of grace, the great covenant of grace, the great grace of God in our salvation. That we're in Christ, not of any good in ourselves, but all of the grace of God. That we have salvation in Him and in Christ alone. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 3:11 tell us, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Christ alone is that foundation and that root we're to look to. But also, not only have we the groundwork of grace here, but we have a growing work. There's a growing work. We have here this thought, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein. There are many action words here. There are many words that have this idea of doing behind them, of this going forward, of growing. We have the thought of being built up, to continue in building, to build upon those foundations, to work up, to be established in the faith. And then we have that word, to be taught, as ye have been taught. And here, as we read through this, yes, building up, we have that very obvious illustration, a continuation on of that groundwork, building upon the foundations of Christ. And we'll think a few moments about what really that means for the child of God, as we seek to build up and to grow further. And then, in the thought of being established in the faith, we have this word, the faith. And as you come to God's word, the term the faith can really carry two meanings. We have the thought, first of all, of the faith in Christ. The faith that is that of each believer's, or why we've come to Christ for salvation, as we've thought about already tonight. But then we have the faith, which really is the collection or the sum of Christian doctrine or of biblical truth, of biblical doctrine. And here in this verse, we could spend much time and we could debate whether the faith relates to being established in the faith, as in the that groundwork, that faith in Christ for salvation. But we could also debate and say that being grounded in the faith, being established in the faith, is the faith of biblical doctrine. But I believe that in some occasions, and I know it was the thought of Dr. Kearns often also, the Holy Spirit uses terms, uses phrases like this, that leave it open for us to look at both. And here we have that, to be established in the faith, to be sure and certain of your faith in Christ as your Savior, but also the need to go on and build up, to be established in the faith, the doctrines of God's Word. The doctrine of the Bible, the great truths. We think often of doctrine and we maybe think that we want to put that to the side. We don't want to focus on doctrine because we sometimes think, oh, that can get very complicated. And sometimes it certainly can. But I believe that the devil often puts that thought in the minds of God's people to try and dissuade them, to stop them from studying doctrine, to stop them from thinking deeper of the biblical truths that we have. You know, just even to read, to set aside time once a day to pick up and to read one of the shorter catechisms. We have a wonderful, in the shorter catechism, we have a wonderful summary of Christian, of biblical doctrine. And even just to set time aside to read one catechism a day, to think upon it. I believe there's great blessing for a child of God to do that. We're commanded here to be established in the faith. And to be established in the faith, we must not only read God's word, but we must meditate upon it. And one way which we can meditate upon it is we have helps, we have aids, like the shorter catechism, or the longer catechism, or whichever you want to take. You can get even ones that have commentaries on them and just have maybe a little five lines after each catechism to explain to you what the catechism is about. I'd encourage you to read the catechism, to try and to establish in the faith. If we think over in the Bible again, if we turn just, and we'll be brief, if we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we have another picture of that building. We have building materials here set before us. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 and 12. We have that great verse we quoted earlier, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." And then we go on down the verses, and we have two sets really there of materials. We have two sets of three. We have the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and then we have a second set, the wood, the hay, the stubble. And then as we go on down through, we see that there is the trying of that building work. There is the trying of that by fire. And then we go down and we see really the results of that. And we see that some are saved as by fire. Verse 15, "If any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And out of that list that we read, what are those things that would be burnt by fire? Well, we have the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the things that would be burnt up by fire. What would not be burnt up by the fire? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones. So there's an exhortation here that, yes, while you're saved and you can be sure and certain that your salvation will never be lost, when it comes to the building work, when it comes to establishing in the faith, building upon the foundation, you ought to build with those things that are gold, that are silver, that are precious stones. Not to be getting caught up in the things that are wood, that are hay, that are stubble. Let our building materials be the best, be the finest. Let's look to those things that are tried and that are proved. Not to the vain philosophies of man, the vain thoughts of man. But let us look to the best. Glean, and what is the best of the best? It is very simply God's word. The Bible as we have it in our mother tongue. There is no better book to read. There's no better to focus on. Oh, certainly it is that gold, silver, precious stones. The Lord has also left men with great knowledge in the scriptures throughout history that have left written works, that have left books. We've mentioned the Shorter Catechism already. Surely that is full of gold, of silver, of precious stones. Yes, there are these things that we take secondary to God's word that we can focus on, that we can read of, and that we can learn much from. Be careful. Not everyone on the internet, not every YouTube preacher, not every preacher in churches around the country are preaching or are building with gold, with silver and precious stones. There are many out there building with wood and hay and stubble. And they may very well be saved. But what will come is that trial by fire, the wood, hay, the stubble that's burnt up. In your own study of God's word, take the time, invest the time in it. That's how you get the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Just reading it as you doze off to sleep at night when you're really, really tired. That's not how you're going to get the gold, the precious stones. Don't follow the thoughts, the philosophies, the ideas of man. Let us spend time in the scriptures. Spend time focusing upon them. You know, I think it also applies to the work of God. Let us give the work of God our full. If you have a responsibility as a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be, to bring the word of God, ensure that you seek to bring forth the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Don't be half-hearted in the work of God. Half-heartedness will only lead to the wood, the hay, the stubble. Be sold out for God. We have that here even in the verse, in our text. Be rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Oh, there's an importance in the teaching. Never forget the ones who have the responsibility of teaching. In your times of prayer, in your personal prayer, remember your minister. Remember the Sunday school teachers, the children's workers in the congregation here. Those who have responsibility outside of the congregation in the wider sense are missionaries, are laymen, those who would are students, those who have responsibility to teach, who have been given that position to bring forth God's word, pray that they would bring forth the gold, the silver, the precious stones. John Gill, he described these gold and silver and precious stones as being rich in themselves and enriching to them. In other words, they're rich in themselves and they're enriching to others. If you're bringing forth the gold, the silver, the precious stones, it will enrich others. It will bless, it will encourage, it will build up the people of God. And how we ought to abound therein, as our text says, the last few words, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let us, and I know time is gone, but let us always be firm in these things, abound in them, be steadfast in them, not be movable. There's a minister back in the 19th century, he was nicknamed Roaring Hugh Hanna. You've maybe heard of him, you've maybe seen the biography that wasn't too long ago published. And there were errors creeping into the Presbyterian Church at the time. And men like him, Roaring Hugh Hanna and Dr. Henry Cook, they stood up and they defended the church from some grave heresies. And how? Why? Well, first of all, they had been rooted in Christ. They were saved men. Pray for saved men in the pulpits of our churches. They were established in the faith. They knew the faith. They knew the doctrines of God's word. Pray that our ministers, our students, that our members of our congregations would know the doctrines of God's word. Pray that our young people would be given an encouragement and a zeal and a want to know the doctrine of God's word. And most importantly, perhaps here, they abounded therein. When others around them were falling away, when others around them were detracting from God's word, they stayed in it. They abounded and stayed firm in the doctrine. We must do likewise. Notice very finally and very, very quickly with me the grateful walk that there was here. We finish with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Part of walking in Christ as a Christian is to be thankful. Thankful to God for all his many mercies to you, for his grace in saving you, lost in and of ourselves. Nothing we could have done for our soul's salvation, but God in his mercy bought us and redeemed us unto himself. Here, this particular word in the original, it carries this same sense of thanksgiving and thanksgiving in worship. Thanksgiving in worship when we come to worship God, worshiping him in song, worshiping him in our prayer. I wonder if you ever considered your prayers and your prayer life as worship to God, because it is in so many ways. And surely this thought of being thankful to God drives us to prayer. When we step back and when we peel away the philosophies and the thoughts and the ideas of man on the scriptures, and when we boil it down basically to our salvation, to our redemption, to the great covenant of grace, to what Christ did on the cross, if we just focus on those things, and you could spend a lifetime focusing on those, never mind other things outside of that, that yes, have their importance. But if we just focused on those things, I think we'd be driven much more to prayer than when we get caught up in other matters that yes, are important. But let us get right our mind's eye on what Christ has done. And surely that will drive us to the place of prayer and thanksgiving unto him. Amen. I trust the Lord has blessed you in some way this evening. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. And you know the needs of the congregation here, I have no doubt yourselves.